Star Tide Rising, Cassette 11.
Chapter 89. Jillian. She shook her head slowly. Maybe it was her tiredness, but she couldn't understand more than a fraction of the NIST machine's explanation. Every time she tried to get it to simplify some subtle point of galactic tradition, it insisted on bringing in examples that only muddied things further. She felt like a Crow Magnon trying to understand the intrigues in the court of Louis XIV. The NIST seemed to be saying that Streaker's discoveries would have consequences that reached beyond the immediate crisis over the derelict fleet. But the subtleties eluded her. Dr. Baskin, the machine tried again. Every epoch has its turning point. Sometimes it occurs on the battlefield. Sometimes it takes the form of a technological advance. On occasion, the pivotal event is philosophical and so obscure that the species in existence at the time are hardly aware that anything has changed before their worldview is turned topsy-turvy around them. But often, very often, these upheavals are preceded by a legend. I know of no other Anglic word to use for it. A story whose images will stand out in the minds of almost all Sophons. A true story of prodigious deeds and powerful archetypal symbols, which presages the change to come. You're saying we may become one of these legends? That is what I am saying. Jillian could not remember ever feeling so small. She couldn't lift the weight of what the NIST was implying. Her duty to Earth and the lives of 150 friends and crewmates were burdens enough. Archetype symbols, you say? What could be more symbolic, Dr. Baskin, than Streaker and her discoveries? Just one. The derelict fleet has turned the five galaxies upside down. Now add the fact that the discovery was made by the newest of all client races, whose patrons are wolflings, claiming no patrons at all. Here on Kithrop, where no presentient life was supposed to be able to arise, they find a ripe presentient race and take great risks to protect the innocents from a galactic civilization grown rigid and calcified. Now, just, now, add the Kerank. In all of the recent epochs, no sapient race has been treated so foully, so abused by the system which was supposed to protect them. So what were the chances that this ship would happen to flee to the very planet that was their last refuge? Can you not see the overlying images, Dr. Baskin? From the progenitors down to the very newest race, what one sees is a powerful sermon about the uplift system. Whatever the outcome of your attempt to escape Kithrop, whether you succeed or fail, the stars cannot help but make a great song of your adventure. This song, I believe, will change more than you can imagine. The voice of the NIST finished with a hushed, almost reverent tone. Its implication was left spinning in the silence. Jillian stood on the sloping ceiling of the dark, lopsided room, blinking in the sparkling light cast by the swirling motes. The silence hung. Finally, she shook her head. Another damn timbrimey practical joke, she sighed. A goddamn shaggy dog story. You've been pulling my leg. The motes spun silently for a long moment. Would it make you feel any better if I said I were, Dr. Baskin? And would it change what you have to do one bit if I said I weren't? She shrugged. I guess not. At least you pulled me back from my own troubles for a little while. I feel a bit lightheaded from all that philosophical crap and maybe even ready to get some sleep.
I am always ready to be of service.
Jillian smirked.
Sure you are.
She climbed up on a packing crate to reach the door plate, but before opening the door, she looked back up at the machine.
Tell me one thing, Nis. Did you give Crydike any of this bullshit you were feeding me just now?
Not in Anglic words, no, but we did cover most of the same themes.
And he believed you?
Yes, I believe he did. Frankly, I was a bit surprised. It was almost as if he had heard it all before, from another source.
That explained part of the mystery of the captain's disappearance then, and there was nothing that could be done about it now.
Assuming he did believe you, just what does Crydike think he's going to accomplish out there?
The moat spun for a few seconds.
I suppose, Dr. Baskin, he is first off looking for allies. On an entirely different level, I think he is out there trying to add a few choice stanzas to the legend.
Chapter 90 Crydike. They moaned. They had always been in pain. For eons, life had hurt them.
Listen.
He called out in the language of the ancient gods, coaxing the Karank to answer him.
Listen, you deep hidden ones, you sad abused ones, I call from the outside, I crave an audience.
The doleful singing paused. He felt a hint of irritation. It came in both sound and sigh, a shrug to shake a bothersome flea away. The song of lamentation resumed. Crydike kept at it, pushing, probing. He floated at the relay link Streaker had left behind, breathing from his sled's air dome, trying to get the attention of the ancient misanthropes, using the electrical buzz of a distant robot to amplify his faint message.
I call from the outside, seeking aid. Your ancient tormentors are our enemies, too.
That stretched the truth slightly, but not in essence. He hurried on, sculpting sound images as he felt their attention finally swing his way.
We are your brothers. Will you help us?
The growling drone suddenly erupted. The sigh portion felt angry and alien. The part that was sound grated like static. Without his apprenticeship in the Sea of Dreams, Crydike felt certain he would have found it unfathomable.
Do not bother us. Do not say. We have no brothers. We reject the universe. Go away.
Crydike's head rang with the powerful dismissal. Still, the potency of the sigh was encouraging. What Streaker's crew had needed all along was an ally, any ally. They had to have some help, at least a distraction, if Thomas Orley's clever plan of deception and disguise stood a chance of success. As alien and bitter as these underground creatures were, they had once been starfarers. Perhaps they would take some satisfaction in helping other victims of galactic civilization. He persisted.
Look. Listen. Your world is surrounded by gene meddlers. They seek us, and small ones who share this planet with you. They wish to warp us, as they did you. They will invade your private agony.
He crafted a sonic image of great fleets of ships embellished with gaping jaws. He painted over them an impression of malicious intent. His picture was shattered by a thundering response.
We are not involved. Krydike shook his head and concentrated.